The title of my sharing is The Encouraging God. And I've had the opportunity to be involved with athletics a good part of my life, either playing and participating and coaching. So when I couldn't play that much, I was able to be involved with coaching athletics. And so, you know, this is, for the most part, was a great experience. And as far as playing athletics, I've had a number of different coaches in high school, in college, in the military, other opportunities where I played in organized sports. I've had different coaches, some good, some not so good. But the good ones had something that really worked for them and made a difference for me personally, and I think for my teammates, and that was that they were positive encouragers. Unfortunately, in college, I had a coach that was a yeller, screamer. He would cuss us out. He would belittle us. It was... Today, if you would see this, you wouldn't believe it. Unfortunately, in those times, that was kind of a norm. You know, a lot of the coaches were like that. Yellers, screamers, get in your face type of thing. When I was a sophomore, I was the sixth man. I was on the bench, and I'd be the first one to go in. And I would get in real quick because some guy would make a mistake. The coach would yell and scream at him and say, Linfeld, get in there. And don't screw up. So, but I knew as time went on and I had the opportunity to coach, I did not want to be like that. That does not motivate. That doesn't help people. Belittle them, to tear them down. And God is certainly not like that. God is not like that at all. And I made a point to coach freshman basketball at Coronado High School for like 12 years. And I made a point never to belittle a kid, never put them down, but just to build them up. Yeah, they make a mistake and I'd have to kind of call them on it, but I would turn it around with an encouragement. And our Heavenly Father is like that. Never think that God is mad at you. I was going to say the P word. He never is mad at you. He never gets upset with you. I mean, maybe he kind of shakes his head. I don't know sometimes when we screw up. But he loves us. And I want to show you what kind of God, our Heavenly Father, is. So go to 2 Corinthians, if you would. And if you know anything about the scriptures, the Corinthians were pretty bad folks. They had really screwed things up. And so Corinthians is a reproof correctional epistle. And it's kind of interesting what is written here. In the first chapter of 2 Corinthians. So go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And let's take a read here. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in Achaia. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of what? Mercies, and the God of what comfort?
All
comfort. He is the God of all comfort. And you're going to see this word comfort in here a number of times. Let's read through this, and then I'm going to come back and explain a few things. Verse 4, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Now, I'm doing the King James here. I don't know if some of the other translations are so repetitive. The Greek word is the same Greek word there, time and time again. Verse 5, for as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. That word consolation is the same word, Greek word, as comfort. Okay? And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation. Again, and that's paraklesis is the Greek word, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation or your comforting and salvation. And it goes on. And I want to go back and then we'll read a little bit more of this chapter. But the Greek word for this word comfort is paraklesis. Okay? And there's another parakleo, that's another same word family that's used here. And it's used a bunch of times in this section of God's Word. What it really means, if you looked up in a Greek dictionary for this word paraklesis or parakleo, it basically means to encourage. Encourage. To bring courage. What is, you know, encourage is to bring courage into the situation. So it's encouraging. God is the God of all encouragement. He wants us to succeed. He encourages us so that we can walk in all the fullness of His promises. And He comforts us. He encourages us in all our tribulation. That word tribulation is thlipsis in the Greek. It means mental pressures, mental stress. We all go through that, don't we? We all have the mental stress, and it's even promised in the Word you're going to have. If you stand for God, you're going to be involved in mental stress situations. But who's going to encourage us in all our tribulation? God is our Heavenly Father. Yeah, and so that we may be able to encourage other folks, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which are in trouble. By the encouragement wherewith we ourselves are encouraged of God. Isn't that fantastic? And this is, like I say, a reproof correction epistle here where the Corinthian church was really making a lot of mistakes, really off the ball, and to realize that here God was telling them, hey, I'm encouraging you here. You've got a lot of pressure going, but I'm there for you. I'm going to build you up. I want you to succeed. And it's a great section here. When I see this in here, it just blows my mind how wonderful our God is to communicate like this to us. Verse 6, and whether we be afflicted, it is for your encouragement and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer, or whether we be encouraged, it is for your encouragement and salvation. Regardless of our afflictions, our stress, we have the encouragement of God. Verse 7, and our hope of you is steadfast. It's steadfast. We ain't going anywhere. Knowing that as you are partakers of the suffering, so shall you also be of the encouragement. Yeah, we suffer in life, but we also have the encouragement that God gives us. Verse 8, for we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble, which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure above strength, insomuch that we despaired even for life. Man, that sounds pretty desperate, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Man, Paul and the boys there were having some problems, some trouble, and look out. And he did not want them to think that he didn't suffer too. You know, Paul went through some hellacious experiences.
Stoned to death.
Yeah, stoned.
Shipwrecked.
In the water, night and the day. Golly molly. And so here he's telling them, he's telling the Corinthians, you know, look, we went through this stuff. We despaired even for life. We were ready to give it up. What's the first word in verse 9?
But
we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust where?
In ourselves,
but in who? God, which raises from the dead. Even if they died, they believed that God would raise them from the dead. Wow. That's believing. That's commitment. That's recognizing that God is going to take care of you. That's trusting in Him. And boy, oh boy, they trusted in Him. Verse 10, who delivered us, past tense, from so great a death, and doth deliver. Not only did we get delivered from death, but He does it over and over and over again. In whom we trust that He will yet deliver us. So no matter what's going on, God can deliver. I don't care what's going on, how bad it could get, God can and will deliver. We got to believe, we got to step up and recognize and trust in Him. Verse 11 is kind of neat. Ye also helping together. Now, how did they help together in the situation?
By prayer.
Yes. And that's why it's so important in our ministry that we have a prayer team that's always praying. How many people on the...
Probably 42 now.
42 people on the prayer team praying for situations. It's big. It's huge. Ye also helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. For our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in the simplicity and godly sincerity, this word simplicity in the King James is guilelessness. It's an old English that we don't use today in definition. It's without guile. In other words, if you have guile, you have another agenda in your mind or your thinking in the situation. So you don't have any other thing going on. You're without guile and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have had our conversation, our lifestyle in the world, and more abundantly to you were. In other words, they're living their life just like everybody else. They're not special. And they go through all the same opportunities. And yet, in their life, you know, they're rejoicing. The grace of God takes care of them. Pretty neat section of scriptures here, huh?
Mm-hmm.
We can go on here, I guess. For we write none other things unto you than what you read or acknowledge, and I trust you shall acknowledge even to the end, as also you have acknowledged us in part that we are your rejoicing, even as you also are ours in the day of the Lord Jesus. their focus on when Christ comes back. And in this confidence, I was minded to come unto you before that you might have a second benefit. And so it goes on, just some great stuff here to see. And what I wanted to show you is how God really encourages us. Now, we're not done here. I want you to go to the Gospel of John, okay? I want to show you something here in light of this God, the Encourager. So in John 14, let's take a look there, Gospel of John. Verse 16, Jesus is talking to his disciples. He's saying some pretty wild things here. Verse 12, he says, the works that I do, you're going to do, and greater works than these, because I go to my Father. Verse 13, whatsoever you shall ask in my name, I'm going to do it, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another, what?
Comforter.
Comforter, that's that same word, paraklesis, and an encourager. It's, you know, that gift of, we know it's the gift of Holy Spirit, right? And he explains that later in verse 26. He tells us that he may abide with you how long? Forever, it says. All right? And jump down to 26 so you see this. But the Comforter, which is what?
The Holy Spirit.
Yeah. Whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach all things. Well, that came on the day of Pentecost. And so this gift of the Holy Spirit that we have is the encourager. That's why we talk about walking and talking with the Father and walking by the Spirit. That Spirit in us is an encouragement. It's a resource of encouragement. That's huge. And I hope in light of me sharing this with you that you see how much God really cares for you and how much he wants us to succeed and how much he's in the stands yelling for us. He's like that parent with their kids in the game and he's yelling and screaming. And he's right there cheering us on. He's our encourager. And that gift of Holy Spirit that we have in us is that encourager, the comforter, which is the encourager. All right?
Amen.
Amen. So, Lord, thank you for how you do encourage us and how you work so beautifully with us, Father, that we can have such a tremendous fellowship with you and walk and talk with you, knowing that you do care for us and you want the very, very best for us. So thank you for your people recognizing this and really walking out on it. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Amen. Amen.